This is our Father's world, and we're gathered in worship this morning to praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we welcome you today. Today we're going to be talking about seasons of life, but not just seasons in our physical lives, age and stage seasons, but seasons in our spiritual life, and how sometimes a special song can get us through some of the harder seasons and help us to express seasons of joy. So that's where we're going this morning, and welcome again. Let's open our worship time with prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for your presence in our midst. Lord, we thank you for this church, and we thank you for your presence in our lives that renews us and gives us vision and strength and purpose and fortitude. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and we ask that you bless this worship service with your Spirit's presence, that we might leave here filled and ready to go out and share your good news and love with a world that needs it so badly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. As we just sang in that song, we go wherever God sends us. And when Kim and Tim spoke in the session meeting of wanting to, that they would be speaking at the NACR convention, I thought that that was God calling me to go. And I had no idea why, except that this was something he was working on in my life. And so I would show up. So the seminary, Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, put on this event. They allowed us to be there. However, it was put on by the Chris Atwood Foundation. And Chris Atwood was 21 when he overdosed for the final time and passed on. His family has responded by helping others to understand and work with to try and change the way society views addiction and how we treat it. Of the 23.5 million Americans, most people feel they have to hide their addiction problems. And right now it's sad, but 1 in 10 people over the age of 12 struggle with some type of substance abuse problem. So it's quite amazing when I what I experienced while I was there. I haven't really talked to anybody about it because I actually spent most of my time on the verge of tears. And it was very personal to me. I haven't really figured out the impact for my life or my church. I haven't figured anything out, so I have just remained silent. But I will tell you, the first day really got my attention. All the presenters, being pastors and professionals, started talking about spiritual disciplines and the 12-step programs. And that grabbed my attention because Tuesdays together, we've been doing the spiritual discipline class with Kim. And we've been working on it for months. So that just got my attention. And years ago, I attended a 12-step group called Emotions Anonymous. It was there that I learned to live at peace with all the unresolved issues that go along with a viral illness and whatever symptoms and depression that that brought with me. I learned to live at peace with them one day at a time by going to a 12-step program. So what that life experience has allowed me to do here at West Valley is on Tuesday nights, I lead a group for those struggling with mental illness or have someone in their family that struggles with mental illness. And it's in that program that we apply all of the spiritual disciplines that Kim taught us about in class, even though I didn't know that's what they were called. You know, it's prayer, meditation, confession, celebration, study. And that's where we learn to live one day at a time well. That's all we get, one day at a time. So the first day of the convention, the first speaker shared that addiction is not something we choose. It's something that life shoves our face into. And he said, he being a pastor, said the most genuine and effective display of a spiritual discipline of confession that he'd ever seen was at a 12-step meeting. He said, by attending 12-step meetings, you confess your weakness openly and honestly each time you walk into a meeting. You choose to walk into a meeting full of strangers and you introduce yourself by saying, hi, I'm Chris and I'm an emotional basket case. Or I'm Chris and I'm an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever. But you confess your weaknesses, right? That's how you open your sharing. He pointed out that many with addiction problems live closed off by themselves. And he pointed out that when confession is done alone, you're avoiding the presence of Jesus and the healing that comes from being in relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as well as everyone else. The next presenter was Matt Russell, and he described sin in his world as being the original sin, being broken off from your relationship to God and other people. And we know that where two or three are gathered, there he is also. And Matt really believes that the 12-step structure is the structure that sets right the relationship that's been broken since the beginning of time. That there's a part of us that must die to sin each day, and that's covered in steps 5 and 9 for those working the program. So what does God need from us to make this work? Absolutely nothing. He needs us to be ourselves. Sometimes we're broken, damaged, and hurting people, willing to just show up and listen to other people. That's all we have to do. God does all the heavy lifting. He helps people grow and change. We just have to join in, and in doing so, we end up in a great place and we learn humility. It's also a great place to practice the spiritual discipline of giving testimony. Testimony is that putting into words what we experience in life and how we're growing and living out one day at a time. We call this the way of Jesus. In the 12 steps, there are those that believe, but it's all for all of those that have yet to meet Jesus, or they just can't be in relationship with him yet. One of the next presenters, Greg Taylor, he's a former pastor of a really unique community in Houston, Texas, called Mercy Street. He spoke of creating a grace space for those that are hurting, and he created this space. Mercy Street is a place where people can go and practice being in the world in the same way that Jesus came into the world. He describes this community for the hurting, the lost, and the lonely, so they could experience the radical grace and the welcome of God, where people can expect to be encountered as a who rather than a hi. What do you do? Where do you work? Why are you here? They don't ask any of those questions. These meetings just create a space for honest, non-scripted storytelling. The attendees are becoming self-aware, honest, non-controlling, non-judgmental, and the groups foster transparent leaders that allow multiple stories to be told without judgment, without criticism or crosstalk. People just go and share. Now, the attendees do have sponsors, accountability partners, and they can be rather strict. And each time you slip up, each time you fail, you start over at the beginning and you confess, I have one day sober. I have one day clean. I have one day where I've been calm and centered. And the groups grow by leaps and bounds, by being ridiculously inclusive and welcoming to anybody. So by the end of the week, someone said, what the recovery community is teaching the church has yet to be written. But what I heard all week long is that the recovery communities truly are communities of grace, which is the conduit through which the healing of disgrace is conducted. We're invited to live into the reality that the body of Christ is much more than a metaphor. And we need to come to recognize that there are parts of the body of Christ that we don't know yet. It was said multiple times in this meeting that the opposite of addiction is kinship and connection. Trauma, brokenness, insecurity, and pain. This is what makes up the hurting people that show up. And all we have to offer to them is our love and the love of Jesus. And in these, they find people who will love them back. And there's our real connectedness.
Let's continue in worship with a time of prayer. We will worship you, Lord, not because of our circumstances. We worship you this morning not in spite of our circumstances. We worship you this morning in the midst of our circumstances. For through life's many changes, as seasons come and go, although we experience ups and downs and even significant turbulence at times, we know that you have been there for us at the beginning of time, even creating the very heavens and earth. We know that you will be there for us at the end of time, reigning over the new heaven and the new earth, ready and eager to wipe away every tear from our eye. And we also know that you are here with us now. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Even if we rose on the wings of the dawn and settled at the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide us. Even there your right hand will hold us fast. Lord, this is a period of change for so many, for students and teachers and parents as school begins, for college students as they prepare for and begin their new year's classes, for families of students as they negotiate the empty space and struggle with the challenge of letting go, of being still and discovering anew that you are God. For those facing transitions in work or in health or in relationships, in the midst of all our circumstances, Lord, we know that you will stand by us, that we can lean on you to be our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We pray especially for Anton. Thank you for the incredible ways that you have gifted him. Thank you for allowing him to share his talent with us. Thank you for the times he led us to the very foot of the cross in worship. Thank you for blessing us through him. We pray that you bless him as he goes. We know that his transition is just part of your greater plan for your sound to go out through all the lands and your words to the end of the world. We pray for our church and for Session as it seeks to solve staffing needs. Guide them to the right people who are filled with your spirit, so that your light will shine throughout this community, which will see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We pray also for the Engelman family, with all the joys and stresses of wedding preparation and ceremony, and the new life after marriage. We pray for Katie and for Chris, and ask that you surround them with your love in a very special and undeniable way. Through all these transitions, Lord, we affirm with the psalmist that you are the Lord Almighty and you are with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You stand with us and have even sent your Son, Emmanuel, God with us. And in his name we pray the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, seeing in the distance a fig tree and a leaf. He went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its figs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door.
So today, as I told you at the beginning of the service, we're talking about seasons. This is a story, a parable. We've been in this summer series of parables this summer, and this is the last parable we're going to talk about. It's kind of a strange parable. Jesus goes up to a fig tree. There's no figs. It's not the season for figs. And so actually what he does, and there was another part of the passage that tells us this, he says, No one ever eat from you again. And he withers the fig tree. The tree just dries up right there. Hey, Jesus, why did you do that? That's not a very eco-friendly thing to do. I mean, the fig tree's just being a fig tree. And I know we don't have fig trees, but there's a picture. I got a picture of a fig tree. That's a fig tree. That's a fig tree being a fig tree. All right? Just there. And then there's the figs, okay? In case you didn't know what figs look like on a fig tree, which I didn't know either, there they are growing on the fig tree. Okay, why would Jesus wither the fig tree? So what I want to tell you today is that when you read Scripture, and when something hits you like that and you think, what on earth does this mean? It helps to look at the context of the verse. Because, you know, Christian plaques are great and everything, and you get them in Christian bookstores, but sometimes they don't really mean what they seem to mean because they're taken out of context, right? I love Christian plaques, by the way. I have them hanging in my house, but I'm just saying, when you read Scripture and you're like, what is going on? Look at the context. Danielle Steele, best-selling author of all time, says this. She says, people have entire relationships via text message now, but I'm not partial to texting. I need context, nuance, and the warmth and tone that can only come from a human voice. Okay? So, in context then, if you look at the Scripture, if you brought your Bibles, which I've been encouraging you to do all summer, or your cell phone Bible app, what's the next thing that Jesus does? Does anybody have it? Is anybody courageous enough? Did you open your Bible at the beginning? Well, we're short on time, so I'll tell you. You can open the Bible now, though, if you'd like, or open your app on your cell phone if you'd like. The next thing Jesus does is he goes and he cleanses the temple. Remember that passage that we don't talk about too much in Sunday school because Jesus gets angry and takes a whip and, you know, cleanses the money changers out of the temple? Why does he do that? Because the temple is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's not bearing fruit for God. All right? So the withering of the fig tree is a parable of the state of the temple. Okay? So he goes to the fig tree, there's no fruit. He goes to the temple, there's no fruit. People are doing the wrong thing in the temple. The people in the temple missed the moment of their visitation. Here God Almighty walks into their midst and they're buying and they're selling for their own gain. All right. So when you read the parables, be sure to take them in context. Look at what the author is trying to say, because there's a lot of different meanings there. So I want to shift now from the parable to a little more practical way to apply this parable. And I want you to look at your life. And as Chris was talking, she was emphasizing authenticity and being real with ourselves. You know, sometimes we ask God to show up for us, but we don't show up for God because we're not being real and honest. So I want you to take an honest look at yourself right now and ask yourself, what season am I in right now spiritually? What season? And we all have different seasons in our lives. Ask yourself, how close do I feel to God right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being far, far away, 10 being super duper close, where do I fall on that continuum right now? What season am I in terms of my feeling connected to God? Ask yourself, how sure am I of my faith? Or how doubtful am I? How encouraged am I about what God is doing, or how discouraged am I about what I think God should be doing, but he's not following through? Ask yourself and be honest about those things, because we experience highs in our relationship with God and we experience lows. It's really important to be honest about those things, those seasons. We all go through seasons in our faith. And the truth is that no matter what season we are in, whether we feel far from God or we feel close to God, God doesn't change, and the Holy Spirit is still alive in us no matter what we're feeling, no matter what season we're in, and we still have the capacity, ability to bear fruit for God whether or not we feel close or not. So we can't take how we're feeling to be determinative of whether we're bearing fruit. Now, I was at a conference this past week. I was in Chicago, Illinois at Willow Creek Church. And I heard Bill Hybels speak. And he spoke about this very thing, about how he would go through periods of turmoil. Bill Hybels is a pastor of one of the largest churches in the United States. But he has struggles and tough times, and how he needed the Holy Spirit to help him through these various seasons. And what he said was, sometimes in a season of doubt or difficulty, or in a season where he felt so joyful he just couldn't contain his joy, the Holy Spirit would give him a song. The Holy Spirit would give him a song. And I thought, in honor of Anton's last day, we would talk a little bit about the songs that get us through the seasons, all right, and have a chance to just sing a verse of some of these songs. And Bill Hybels also said sometimes when he was going through a really tough time, he would say, Lord, what's the song for this season for me? Give me a song that will help me get through this. Or, God, I'm so grateful, I don't know what to say. Give me a song that helps me celebrate. He was saying that. And so I'm going to focus on some of the hymns this morning, because many of you know the hymns, and I think the hymns have rich theology, but there's a lot of songs that the Holy Spirit will give you. How many of you have ever had the experience where you can't pray and God gives you a song? A song to sing? Yeah. That's so important. Use that song. That's the Spirit coming up in you. It's almost like David. We have a whole book in the Bible. It's called Psalms. Psalms means songs, okay? Songs can do things, you know, that academic perusal or sort of rational thing you can't do. Music ministers. I know some of you... No, Carol McKean, this isn't in my notes, sorry. But anyway, I went over there the other day, and we put on earphones, and we listened to the old hymns, and I went over there this past week, and I didn't have my earphones. He says, Oh, I want to sing. I said, Carol, I'm coming back. Carol's an old-time member here. We love him. Okay, so when we sing, we keep ourselves from being... withered up old fig trees, you know. So it's been Christian for a long time. We can get withered up and old, but the Spirit renews us when we sing. So first season, let's do, I'm going to do four seasons. Season of joy. These are days when we can't contain ourselves. We're so happy. Life is good and bright and full of blessing. And even if it's not, let's say things are going wrong, there's a special dispensation of the Holy Spirit where we feel the presence of God and we know He's with us. And maybe you had that experience when you first became a Christian. You're so excited about God and His great love for you. You went out and shared it with a whole bunch of people and you turned a whole bunch of people off, but you couldn't help it. All right? So you're sharing this. Or maybe it's the birth of your first child or your grandchild. You're holding this baby thinking, what a gift this is to me. Right? You're full of joy. And these seasons are just the best because we're popping figs right and left, you know? We're saying, thank you, God, I'm bearing fruit. I'm so excited. We have energy. What song? Well, we sang it this morning. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is your help and salvation. Ponder anew. That means think again and again and again about what the Almighty can do. What can God do, folks? Anything, if in His love He be friendly. Think about the words to this song. We have a great big God on our side who does amazing things. Let's sing a song for that season of joy together. Sing with them.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is my help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad
puts the words to the feeling. But we don't always feel so great, right? There's times when we don't feel like praising God. There's times of loss. I'm going to talk about the season of loss for a minute. Losing a loved one can be so hard, right? Or maybe you've lost a job or a relationship or just lost a sense of God's presence in your life for whatever reason. It's a dry season. And the world goes gray. And you're going through the motions, and time seems to collapse. It feels as if you're surviving, not living. You know, one in every four people in a crowd suffer or have suffered with some kind of depression. And we may be doing all the right things to feel better, but we're still stuck in the muck of it and disappointed with God or with ourselves, and we can't figure out the why of things. And one of the best songs for this season is the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And who knows that song? How many of you have sung that before? Now, I got to tell you the story behind that song. It was written by a man named Horatio Spafford, who lived 1828 to 1888, a long time ago. But he was this wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. And he was also a devout Christian. Those of you who have heard of Dwight L. Moody, he was a friend of that famous evangelist, and he used to go on trips with him and help share the gospel. Well, what happened to Horatio Spafford is that he lost his little son, tragically. And as they're mourning his son's loss, the great Chicago fire wiped out all of his real estate. His family's mourning both losses now. He's got four daughters and a wife. He puts them on a boat that will take them to a place where they can have a vacation and recover. The boat gets into a collision with another boat. All four daughters drown. Only his wife is left. She sent him a telegram, saved alone. He gets on a boat to join his grieving wife, and he pens the words to this song, the now famous words, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." Think about it. It takes some faith and strength to sing that when we're in this state, because when we feel this way, we have no way to explain the depths of our pain. And yet this song tells us that somehow in all the unexplained pain, God still holds us. And somehow, in some way, we will make it through. Even in his agony, by writing these words, Spafford bore fruit in the midst of his crisis, you see, because these words have helped hundreds of thousands down through the generations. Let's sing the words together now.
When peace like a river attends,
courage in that song. Then we have seasons of gratitude, where it seems we just can see God all around us. We're filled with awe and wonder, and with the psalmist we want to proclaim, "How wonderful are your thoughts, how God, oh God, how vast are the sum of them." Maybe God's just answered a prayer for you and you're thinking, "Yeah, that's wonderful." I just talked to Karen Eshoff this past week, and she gave me permission, I don't know if you're here, Karen, to share this with you, but she went to a friend to have her pray for her because she'd been through a season of struggle. And the friend told her, she said, "Karen, close your eyes and imagine Jesus on the cross. I know you've done it before, but do it again and ask him to take it from you, the struggle and the pain." And as she did, as she went into prayer and she imagined Jesus on the cross, the weight was lifted from her shoulders. She felt it coming off her shoulders. And she came to me last week. She's so grateful, so grateful. There's such power in our God. Maybe you've been encouraged by a circumstance like that where a prayer was answered. Or perhaps you're just in a peaceful state right now where you can see the wonder of creation and be grateful and recognize that your Father, your Abba Father, the one who created you, whose child you are, is also the creator of this universe. What a wonderful thought. Do you ever think like that? Think like that. Recognize that God, the creator, is your very own parent who has you very much in mind as his beloved child. A song that is full of gratitude is the song, "This is My Father's World." Let's sing it together.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the shores their perils raise, the morning light, the lily white, declares the Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere.
Season of Gratitude. That's a wonderful song filled with awe and wonder. I got to close with a season of transition. Transitions work better for some than others. Sometimes people like change, sometimes they don't. It's always a little scary because we don't know what's coming. And as many of you know who've been worshiping with us for a while, West Valley's gone through a big transition from PCUSA to ECO, and we're still feeling the weight of that, the loss of that, the goodness of that, and the blessing of that, both are in this mix. And I just want to tell you right now what a wonderful session you have. And we're going to be sharing with you a bright new vision in September that our Moving Forward team has put together. I'm so excited about it. And we've also had a major staffing transition, and that's been hard. But it's coming together in a very exciting way that we'll be sharing with you again in the next couple of Sundays. There's a wonderful future, and there's a lot of good that's happening. God has definitely been providing in this transition. We've also transitioned into having an after-school program. I'm telling you, folks, it's rocking and rolling. You know, we'll be talking about that more, too, but it's a huge outreach to our community. We've transitioned from just a couple kids sort of straggling over from Hyde Middle School to a program this year that is structured, that we had to hire three staff for, and for which many of you are volunteering during the week. Thank you so much for that. And I want to tell you, in that transition, when we had just a couple of kids, we thought, is this really God's calling, and did we hear wrong? Because this just doesn't seem to be working, because sometimes transitions take a while, right, for everything to kind of settle in, and you're not sure, as I said, what the future holds, and you just have to wait. And quite frankly, that's not my strong suit. But when you're following God and doing the best you can to listen, these seasons of transition, when steeped in prayer, bring amazing results. This year, for Crestone, it looks like we're going to max out at 50 kids with parents calling us and saying, could you do Fridays too? Because we're Monday through Thursday right now. Could you do Fridays too? Wow. And in addition to church transitions, I know there's personal transitions all over this congregation. I know that some of you have new jobs, new marriages are happening. Others of you are trying to care for aging family members and wondering how or when to transition them out of their home to another facility if that's needed. Some of you are transitioning schools from high school to college or from middle school to high school. In all transitions, change is inevitable, and yet God is unchanging. And one of the great songs for the seasons of transition is the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Because God never changes. In the midst of transitions, we can look up. We can look up, not necessarily out, and know that He will be faithful. He is God. Let's sing that to close.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Great is thy faithfulness,
pray with me? Thank you, Lord, that in every season you are faithful. In every season you are there. Whether we're joyful, whether we're in a season of loss, gratitude, transition, whatever it is, Lord, you are faithful. And you have taught us to say, because of that faithfulness, it is well with my soul in every season. Give us a song, Lord, to sing in every season. In Jesus' name, amen. Here. God is calling. He's calling all of you to know that He's faithful in every season. Go out and trust His love. Know that the Holy Spirit's alive in you. Know that He is with you this week. Amen.